We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states. And the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live, in-game odds on every major sports, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our Detroit Lions versus the Cleveland Browns game preview. We're going to talk about some keys to victory, and we're going to talk about some things the Lions can do to finally get their first win of the season. All on episode 209 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in! Jared Goff!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! T.J. Hockenson, yes! They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Oh, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 209 on the Blue Wire Network. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Underdog Fantasy, promo code PridePod. Go use them on the pick'ems. They're matching up all the way up to $100 of your first deposit. If you don't feel comfortable with putting $100, you could put as low as $10, and they'll match your $10 as well. So go try them out. Malcolm got his first win on Sunday. He cashed out on Monday. And, you know, Malcolm is, you know, he's feeling good now. He's going to go in the pick'ems, and he's going to get another one on this Thursday. He's going to get another one on Sunday. He's going to get a hot streak. The offer is gone. So congratulations again to my dog, Malcolm. I don't want to talk about my success recently on Underdog because it's been horrific. So I might need to take a little break for a little bit. But go test out your luck.
Malcolm, you got to tell the Lions to, like, cut off Owen, too. Like, Owen been, like, they got to cut him off this week, at least, or maybe versus the Bears, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got to do something, man. We'll see.
I mean, Malcolm found a way to cut him off. Could the Lions figure out to cut him off this week versus the Cleveland Browns? That's going to be the test. But I got my two guys, as always. Malcolm, Pierre, how you boys doing today?
Woo!
I am doing well. What's up with you guys?
Pierre, welcome back. Welcome back. You didn't miss much in our post game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers because you probably, you know, save some gray hair, save some, you know, just valuable time not talking about that shithole of a game. So,
Tyler, I was studying for two exams, so I have plenty of gray hairs. Don't worry about that.
I can't tell you what I'd rather do. study for an exam or talk about that shithole game.
It was tough, but they're
both as bad. So, you know. Let's just get into the Lions and Browns. All right, here, what's the Cleveland Browns injury report looking like?
We're going to start with their did not practice. So first was Myles Garrett, not injury related. Stefanski said he's going to play, though, but he didn't practice. He's dealing with some personal issues. Cornerback AJ Green, concussion, didn't practice. Cornerback Troy Hill, neck, didn't practice. Defensive lineman Malik Jackson, knee, didn't practice. Jarvis Landry, knee, didn't practice. Baker Mayfield, left shoulder, foot, and knee, didn't practice. Mayfield actually said, like, this is the most banged up he's ever been, but Stefanski's expecting him to play. And then we have, is that Anthony Schwartz? Oh, yeah, the wide receiver, concussion, did not practice, in the limited. Jadeveon Clown dealing with a wrist, ankle, knee injury. Tack McKinley, is that right? He's growing. He's limited as well. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, former Michigan wide receiver, actually got hurt in practice today, growing limited. So that's something to monitor. And then Greedy Williams, shoulder full. That's their injury report. Again, I don't know how serious these are. We'll have to wait on our post-game pod to see who's in and who's out. But maybe the concussion one, I'd monitor that one. And I'd monitor even Baker Mayfield. Like, I know Savannah said expects to play, but Baker said this is the most banged up he's ever been in his career. So,
yeah. No, and I think we're going to get into that Cleveland Browns offense, but Baker Mayfield does not look the same as he did last year when they had a very successful season. You know, they gave the Chiefs a run for their money. They killed the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. This is not the same Baker Mayfield we saw last year. And you wonder if that has to do with the injuries or if that's something else, but we'll get into that. Malcolm, what's the Lions injury report looking like?
Yep. So the Lions injury report, we have started with your boy, money man, Trey Flowers. He has a knee injury. He did not participate in practice today. Quarterback, Pierre's boy, Jared Goff. He had an oblique injury. He did not practice today. Jamar Jefferson, he has a knee and ankle injury. He did not practice today. Tackle, Matt Nelson, he has an ankle injury. He also did not practice today. Then we also have Austin Bryant. He had a shoulder injury. He was limited. DeAndre Swift, he had a shoulder. He was limited today. Tracy Walker, his concussion. He still practiced, but he was limited. Jamal Williams, he had a thigh injury. He was limited. And then that was pretty much it. And we have Jerry Jacobs. He's on the injury report with a groin injury, but he was a full participant.
That is good to see because he exited that game versus the Steelers and did not return, I don't believe. So that's good to see. Jacobs back on the practice field as a full participant, but you named some crucial guys on this list. You mentioned the starting quarterback of the team didn't participate, and Dan Campbell says it's a day-to-day injury for Jared Goff, and the status right now is unknown. We don't know if he will or won't play this Sunday versus the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, he was very hurt versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we talked plenty about that. And then you mentioned Trey Flowers. It seems like every other week he ends up on this injury report for something different. And then Tracy Walker, that's also a good sign as well to see that he was on the practice field as some limited capacity. And I believe he posted on his Instagram story that he will play this Sunday. So
he sure did. Yeah, he posted on the story.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a trainer. I don't know if he got some type of clearance or I don't know where he got that information from. But he says he will play this Sunday. We'll see how true that ends up being on Sunday. But yeah, the Lions suffered some injuries, and you said DeAndre Swift with the shoulder. I'm surprised it's not his back injury with all the carries that he had.
That's facts, man. I'm shocked too. Yeah, his back should be hurting.
I am surprised with it being a shoulder injury. But all right, I want to talk about Jared Goff's injury. So there's actually an unknown status if Jared Goff will play this Sunday. I'm going to ask you, Pierre, you know, if Jared Goff ends up missing this Sunday, it looks like Tim Boyle will be the guy. If he's good to go, he's getting the first team reps in practice right now. Yes. Yeah. What's your thoughts on potentially seeing Tim Boyle start this game this Sunday?
I'll give you my honest opinion. First of all, I think they should play Goff on IR. You already know what you have in him and evaluate Tim Boyle and potentially David Blau. Boyle's troubles. Let's see what Blau could do, right? Because we already know what you have in Goff. That's what I would do. They're not going to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. They're probably going to start Boyle this week. And Boyle has a nice arm. We've talked about that, but he's not accurate at all. The guy is just not accurate, but he'll laser it. He'll throw deep, but he'll probably miss on some. He's not accurate.
So do you think that changes up the playbook when you go from a quarterback like Jared Goff to a quarterback like Tim Boyle? Like not that I think very highly of a Tim Boyle, but do you think the game plan changes at all, or the thought process of Dan Campbell, who is calling plays now, and it looks like he's calling plays for I don't know, at least going into this game. We don't know. I can't say for the remainder of the season because that could change very easily. But going into this game, looks like Campbell's probably going to call plays again.
Yes.
Does the play calling, you think, change this week? You know, take out the weather, take out all that. I'm just saying, as a quarterback in general, do you think the game plan changes?
Not really. I think they're going to try to run the ball still.
You think we see anything similar to what we saw versus Pittsburgh?
Yes, but also if it's not raining and like your quarterback's not hurt, I think there'll be some more shots down the field as well. Because Boyle likes, like I said, he has a strong arm, but he's not accurate. So I think we'll see some shots too. And Boyle also, he's not a check down artist like Goff. We'll see some deep passes. A lot of them will be misses because he's not accurate. But we're going to see like a more aggressive quarterback, I guess, if that makes sense.
I think we were talking a little bit before the show as well. We were talking about the Cleveland Browns corners, and you were telling me that they've been a strength for this team this year, maybe outside of the nickel corner, Troy Hill. I guess he's been struggling a little bit, and their safeties haven't been the biggest strength for this team either. But overall, this is a defense that has good corners. So it's going to be a difficult matchup. It's not like last week when you played Pittsburgh where their secondary is and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Cleveland Browns kind of play it defensively. But, Malcolm, I'm going to ask you the same question. Tim Boyle looking like he's going to be the quarterback inserted this week if Jared Goff can't go. What's your thoughts on Tim Boyle potentially starting this Sunday?
It's interesting. I'm actually, low-key excited because we're going to get to see something different. And, you know, if you're going by preseason, what you see by Tim Boyle, you're probably not that excited. But I think they really kept things vanilla. I think it's gonna be a similar situation to how we felt about Panay. If you're looking judging his preseason, you know, you're probably scared his first game playing right tackle. But I think Tim Boyle is gonna be a lot better than we're all anticipating him to be. I don't know why I feel a little excited about this. Is it because I'm tired of golf?
That's probably what it is, but yeah, but Tim Boyle doesn't excite me either. So it's like I'm going back to my garbage can and recycling bin analogy. It's like,
pretty much.
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, they're both terrible. We don't have a quarterback on this roster that I really think anything of. And Tim Boyle fits in that criteria.
I mean, my thing right now is that I haven't seen him play a regular season game. That's why I'm excited because, we've seen him preseason, but how much can you go by preseason? Can you really go by preseason like that? Like, the play calling is vanilla. The receiving core he was probably working with wasn't, I mean, it's still going to be the same receiving core. I mean, but still, I mean, I think it's a different vibe from preseason. We're looking at preseason compared to the regular season. The only reason why I'm excited is because this is my first time seeing him in a regular season. Now, if he comes out and stink, I'm probably not going to want to see him again.
I believe he only has 3 completions for 15 yards in his career.
Most of his time, he's been taking knees for Aaron.
Do you remember your question about their secondary, they're ranked 11th against the pass and 5th against the run. So Cleveland's defense is pretty good. They're number 5th overall in total defense.
Yeah, I'm just remembering a video Malcolm sent me in the offseason when we signed Tim Boyle. He sent me a compilation of Tim Boyle taking knees for like 5 minutes.
I remember that. That was funny.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I've really seen of him in the regular season. You know, the score is out of hand. A-Rod is out the game, and in comes Tim Boyle to just kneel the ball down.
I remember we're doing an off-season podcast. I think we're doing a free agency, some signs that we made. And just as we're recording, the Lions signed Tim Boyle, and I told him breaking news, and he looked like he went to slap me across the face. He looked so pissed when I told him we signed Tim Boyle. He goes, okay, what does that do for me?
Yeah, bro, what is it?
And then he goes, you know what? I'm going to look into it. And then he sends me a compilation of him taking knees.
That's all they would have found. That's crazy. But, man, I'm excited, man. I just like seeing, and you know, I've been through this assignment before. You know, when it was Driscoll's first time playing, I was like, you know what? I'm low-key excited. I don't know what the hell Driscoll's going to bring to this, but I'm excited. Let's see what Driscoll could do. And then David Blau, when he first came in, I was like, I never seen David Blau. Let's see David Blau. Okay, so this is the same kind of hype.
I understand your excitement a little bit more now because Jared Goff is freaking terrible. So I understand like wanting to see anything different. But when Jeff Driscoll had to come in for Matthew Stafford, I was not excited at all.
No. Yeah, I was so down when that happened. I was so down that that happened. I was just trying to find some type of positive. I was trying to look at the glass half full.
But like now I understand. Like if you're not optimistic because you don't sound optimistic, but you're like, I guess – intrigued to see Sunday how Tim Boyle looks. I understand that a little bit more because it really can get much worse at the quarterback position with Jared Goff. So I understand that one a little bit more. But if you were excited in 2019 for Jeff Driscoll or David Blau, I have questions.
You don't remember? I was kind of like, all right, maybe we have a chance. Let's see what Driscoll could do.
I thought maybe for five minutes because Clippers had no game film on him. I'm like, hold up. We were going from Matthew Stafford to Jeff Driskel. There should be no excitement here.
Yeah, it was a bad feeling. Yeah. I don't know, man. Do you think like what would happen? This is the thing that excites me. This is the what if. What if the dude has like a Mike White type game, wins a game, has an awesome game, and then now here comes the controversy of who should be your starter? You know, Jared Goff is not now. Jared Goff is not healthy, but just say, you know, this is not gonna. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but what if Tim Boyle comes out with a game of 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, and wins the goddamn game? Then what? Then
People would be laughing at if we said this about Mike White. If we were a Jets podcast and we said this about Mike White on Wednesday, people would be laughing. Maybe Malcolm is speaking some to existence right now.
Bro, I'm just saying, like, what if he had like a Mike White type game? And then now the week after Thanksgiving game going, they're like, oh shit, you know, Goff is healthy now, but who should be your starter? Then what? That's the things that kind of excite me right now. That's what's exciting me right now. The what if. What if this dude comes out and balls the hell out?
I wasn't saying stop to you, Mark. I was saying stop to Peter when he called Tim Boyle TV 12.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Hey, that's what they call it, man. That's his nickname.
Who?
I'm kidding, guys.
I heard the words on the streets. They call him TV 12 around here in Detroit.
No, man.
But all jokes aside, I mean –
yeah, I mean, if Tim Boyle could put that some type of performance, I don't expect that. Obviously, I don't think any fan should come into the mindset of Tim Boyle doing anything close to that. But like, it is a what if. It's the NFL. Anything could happen, right? Anything crazy could happen. You know, you're playing historically a team who's known as poverty as you are, as the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they could lose this type of game, and it wouldn't shock me. This is the type of game how I imagine the Lions like in a couple of years. Like, I hope they're good. But I could just see them still doing the most lion shit ever, like lose like a game that they should not lose.
Why would you speak that to existence?
Yeah, why are we doing this?
Cut his mic off. Cut his goddamn mic off. Because
it's going to happen. Well, at least we're a good football team, which that would be good.
Yeah.
Look, man, when you look at Tim Boyle, like when they gave him that much, I was like, why the hell did they give him that much money in the offseason? It is what it is, though. Let's see what – I mean, he might not – if Goff is healthy, Goff's going to play. But I think they're going to roll with Boyle this week. Let's see what he could do. And I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. I think it's the whole thing of – man.
I'm tired of seeing Goff. I'd rather see you out there than Jared Goff. How about that?
I don't really have
– I'd be thrilled if Malcolm Hart was out there as my quarterback. I'd be thrilled.
I don't have an arm like that. And
you don't need an arm. You guys could run the read option.
I don't think my speed's like that anymore, man. I'm 34, man.
Malcolm, what happened the last time you ran a 40?
No lie, that was when I was dead ass out of shape, and I went to I went to the Sunday Super Bowl experience. That's what it's called, Super Bowl experience. And yeah, you can run your 40, you can do all this other shit. And yeah, I ran my 40 with my daughter and yeah, pulled my quad. Didn't go well.
That's tough.
Right? Yeah, it was tough. Didn't even finish. Just fell instantly. Probably fell like 20 meters in.
See, Malcolm, you don't know who was watching there. Like maybe there was some legit evaluators out there, and maybe you could have been starting this game.
That was 2020. That was last year.
Early 2019 season.
But it was in February, so February 2020.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was 33. Nobody's looking at me.
I mean, didn't Kurt Warner get a job working at like a grocery store or something like that?
Kurt Warner was he wasn't 33.
That is true.
This is like the end of your career when you're like that age. Yeah, this is not the beginning. This is the end.
That is
right. Football life. But yeah.
Okay, but like Tim Boyle, I mean, I hope there's something there. Like I hope, like I don't expect it, but like he realistically could just be okay. Like just okay. And there's going to be controversy and conflicting thoughts if he's just okay from the media, the fan base, and maybe even the front office and the coaching staff itself. Maybe there's some conflicting thoughts. I mean, I think you're seeing with the New York Jets right now, like I know Zach Wilson's not 100% healthy right now, but you know, they rolled with Mike White for, I believe, 2 weeks. And then they had Josh Johnson come in for Mike White when he came in for an injury because Wilson wasn't activated, obviously. And then this week, as we're going into week 11, Joe Flacco is now the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
I got to say something about the Jets. I think that's stupid. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
I mean, I feel that because that's a completely different situation because Zach Wilson was your number two overall pick. And, like, that's someone you should be trying to develop. Like, Jared Goff is an afterthought at this point.
So. No, not like Zach Wilson. I think, like, he's still hurt. What's stupid is playing Joe Flacco.
Look over even at Mike White, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's dumb. But that's we don't cover the Jets, so I don't really care about the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. But, yeah, they're rolling with Joe Flacco this week. I wish it was our guy Josh Johnson. That would be exciting.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Give me the weaknesses up here. What's the weaknesses on the Cleveland Browns defense that the Lions' horrific offense with Tim Boyle potentially this week? What's something the Lions should attack this week?
I mean, their interior of the line is kind of a weakness, like stopping the run interior-wise, but, like, overall, they're 11th against the run. I don't know if they necessarily, like, have, like, a true weakness. Their nickel corner, Troy Hill, he's hurt. Their safeties have struggled a little, but John Johnson's a good safety. Ronnie Harrison, he's decent, but they've struggled this year. So
what's the game plan for Dan Campbell as he calls the second professional game?
Tyler, this is hard to game plan, but I think what you have to do is you have to go do your strength, have your O-line try to move these guys.
Yeah.
Run the ball, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I think the running game, like I think we talked about it last episode, it was where they found an identity running that ball last week versus Pittsburgh. And I think that's something they should use to their strength and continue to run the ball. I don't think anybody here, at least I'm going to speak for you guys. If I'm wrong, correct me. But I think I could speak for all of us right now and say we like the implication of getting a run game going, but it was just a bit much. And it eliminated the passing game completely, and that should not be the case.
Yeah, like 3rd and 10, if all you're doing is running the ball. And I mean, you saw Pittsburgh adjusted. They start stopped running, and then Swift was gassed. Like, I thought also leaving Swift in there was kind of a mistake. You had Godwin, Iguabuike. He had a couple nice runs. They took him out. He never really came back in. So I thought they mismanaged that as well. But, you know, again, it's a young coaching staff, and it was Campbell's first time calling plays. So they're still adjusting, and we'll see what happens.
Yo, Pierre, I last episode, I know you weren't here, and we had a little discussion about our OC. Anthony Lynn, what is your thoughts on Anthony Lynn right now?
I still think he's the OC, but I think if maybe they could find an upgrade, I don't think he's a lock to be back. Because if Campbell takes play calls, just taking play calling duties from him, that kind of tells you maybe what he thinks about him. Or, like, I don't know. Like, it seems like they don't really have confidence in him, right? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, so far, if head coach is calling plays. Like, I thought Lynch started well in the beginning of the year. He was fun, some creative stuff. And then they kind of just went to being kind of like boring, just running the ball, checking it down. Just... Guys started getting hurt also when you lose Tyrell Williams, Quintus Cephas, even Jamal Williams, right? You kind of like, you don't have much. To begin with, they didn't even have much. And then when you lost those guys, you really don't have anything on offense.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad.
It's tough.
I do think he's been. I mean, like out of all the coaches like that we signed this year, do you feel like he's the weakest link too?
Anthony Lynn. I mean, you could say that. I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, though, I know it's only one game, so I'll take it with a grain of salt and give him more of an opportunity, even though that's not what we hired Dan Campbell. But that one game alone that I saw with Dan Campbell calling plays. I mean, you could say Anthony Lynn has been bad, but nothing has been as bad as that, in my opinion. Not even anything close to that.
The thing is, too, when you look at Anthony Lynn, I think it's not also fair to put all the blame on him because you look at his personnel, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a wide receiver one. He doesn't have a good quarterback. The O-line, there was a lot of, like, different combinations and stuff. The O-line hasn't really been healthy. Like, Taylor Dyke was out, Matt Nelson's in. Okay, Frank Reich was out, Everett Brown's in. You know what I mean? Like, just shuffling of O-line. I think we had 9 different combinations on the O-line this year, 10, something like that. So that doesn't help either. Your best playmaker is a tight end and a running back. And those are kind of easy to scheme against, to be honest. Like, it's not hard to stop a tight end. It's not hard to stop a running game, like, in the passing offense.
Yeah.
So it's really hard, too, on Lynn. So I guess maybe if he gets a real quarterback and some legitimate wide receivers, maybe then you could you can evaluate him. It's hard to evaluate right now. It really is.
But do you think that they could give him the call duty again?
I think he'll get call duties back again. Yeah. I still think he's part of the game plans. Like, he's an OC, right? He's still leading the offensive meetings and stuff. I'm just saying,
as far as in-game calling and him, you know, being the offensive coordinator and having his role back, not Dan Campbell taking over completely.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he gets some of it back this week. Campbell was first time calling plays. Again, I didn't like what he did, but then when you look at Jared Goff, he got hurt, and the weather didn't help, and the Pittsburgh Steelers were basically doing the same thing the Lions were doing. So, towards the end. Maybe the weather didn't help. I don't know.
See, but the thing was, though, that wasn't something they just did in the second half when the weather started to get bad. I mean, the weather in the first half was completely fine, and the Lions still had the same exact game plan. And it was working. It was working.
Yeah.
But there was no, you know, caveat at let's add to this and, like, let's mix it up a little bit. And that's something I'll give to Anthony Lynn. I feel like he's tried at least to mix up the offense a little bit more, and he's tried to keep it a little more creative. And, you know, Dan Campbell was just it was a one-hit trick. We're going to run the same play, essentially, and we're going to run the ball, and that was about it. And, yeah, the weather was bad, but, I mean, it didn't stop the Pittsburgh Steelers from passing the ball 50-plus times in that game with Mason Rudolph, which I don't necessarily agree with, but it didn't stop them from completely, you know, eliminating.
Well, you got to remember, the Steelers have better weapons, too. I mean, they were without Claypool, but they have Deontay Johnson. They have Freiermuth. They have better weapons than the Lions. They have like, a really good running back, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
So the Steelers have better weapons than Detroit on the out. They also had that dude he balled out against us, Ray McLeod, speedy guy. I think they signed him off their practice squad or elevate him. He was really good for them. Like, their guys step up. When the Lions need a receiver to step up, we haven't had that. For example, Cephas went down. Like, no one's really stepped up, but Claypool went down. Ray McLeod stepped up, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean...
But, like, we didn't even give him an opportunity last game. That was the frustrating part to me. It was, like, we gave him very limited opportunities.
They didn't trust Jared Goff. And he did throw a deep pass, was underthrown, too. And he was really slow at going through. You saw there was a couple plays where Goff was late on his passes. A swift screen where he almost freaking killed him. And then there was another play, I believe, was screen pass to Hockenson. It was, like,
that was freaking terrible. We had a great drive going, which we ended up getting the touchdown, but... I mean, Jared Goff almost threw that whole entire drive away with an interception right there.
Yeah, he's really slow at going through his progressions, and the Lions are thinking, okay, like, and he's playing hurt. The Lions are thinking, okay, if we pass the ball, is he going to throw a pick? Is he going to get more hurt? Or I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on through their minds, but they obviously don't like Blau, because if they thought Blau was, like, a little serviceable, they would have played him, but they kept Goff in there. Tells you, and also it tells you, Boyle hasn't practiced since the preseason. He's coming back right now, and he's getting first-team reps. So it tells you what they think about David Blau.
I was just going to say that this is the biggest F you to David Blau I've ever seen. You know, they're just not even giving him an opportunity where, you know, the guy's been healthy for 10 weeks and Tim Boyle, you know, had the hand injury, was out for 9+ weeks. And as soon as the guy comes back, Tim Boyle's immediately the backup quarterback, which, I mean, that's just, I'm not going to say it's shocking, but it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah. So Tyler, I mean, going to your point about, you know, them not taking shots, you know, the biggest shot they took in that game is when, that's when Jared Goff got hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt on that throw. Yeah. When Evan Brown pretty much like landed, like he got pushed back all the way to him. So it's, I think after that, that was just the end of it. That just was the end of it. They wasn't going to take any more shots.
Okay. I'm not saying 30, 40 yard shots the whole game. I'm saying just past the sticks. We're not even throwing 10 yards. I mean, I think Jared Goff's air raid yards average was 1.6 yards.
That game was bad.
Excuse me. Even when Goff is healthy, he doesn't throw it past the sticks. It's really frustrating to watch.
That's what I'm saying.
And the thing is also, how much is that as the wide receiver's issues as well? Because like as a wide receiver, you gotta know, like, all right, if you're gonna run an out route, you gotta run an out route at, you know, behind the first down marker.
Yeah.
But they're running it in front of it and it's coming up short. They're running a hitch route, but they're running a hitch route 8 yards or 7 yards instead of, you know, maybe you know, 10 to 12.
Right.
So they, you know, how much of that is that as well?
Okay, but I'm saying
so many factors that go into it, man.
We're averaging 1.6 yards.
That game, they just didn't throw the ball. I mean, you got to think about it. He was throwing screens. He didn't throw the ball. He didn't throw the ball past 8 yards until he actually needed to in, what was it, the 2 minute warning?
How about in that overtime? They actually go into a play action. It's the first play, the first play in overtime is a 30 plus yarder to Amon-Ra St. Brown in the play action.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do a little more of that? I mean, he obviously could throw the ball.
That goes to your play caller. They didn't call those plays. Exactly. They didn't call the plays. And maybe those plays were hurting him. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. When you like sit back, kind of like not the immediate rejection, you just sit back and you look back at that game. The game was sloppy for both. Like neither team deserved to win. Honestly, they both deserved an L because you had so many mistakes on both sides of the ball. Whatever, both teams, but especially like when you look at the Lions and they had a chance to convert. Like for example, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 10, they would just run a draw, and I think they converted once or twice on that. Other than that, they didn't really convert. And then they tried a couple of screen passes; those didn't work.
Yeah.
And Malcolm, that deep shot to Raymond Goff was late. If Goff threw that a little earlier, I don't think he would have got hit like how he did. He was looking at the safety.
He didn't get hit, but the Evan Brown like
got, I know, but I feel like if he threw it a little earlier, I don't think he would have been hurt. He was late on the pass. He was actually really late on the pass.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be interesting now adjusting to Tim Boyle and to see what adjustment they kind of make this week on offense. As far as, you know, you're playing another outdoor game, but I don't believe the weather should be as much of a factor. I'm not using the weather as an excuse of last game, but it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust with Tim Boyle now as a quarterback and a guy, you know, you guys mentioned has a bigger arm, is more willing to take shots. It's going to be interesting to see if at all they adjust it, even though they should, you know, still implement the run game. That should still be the identity of the offense, but I still want to see some passes mixed in there. Just more often. I mean, last week was the first week where it was a close enough game where you could continue to run the ball the whole game. Or like you could make that something that you could, you know, do for the whole game. You don't have to completely eliminate it like previous weeks. The only problem I have with it is they didn't grow on it. And I want to see this week is use that run game to your identity. Still make that your identity. We're going to be a team that's going to run down your throats. But it shouldn't be officially eliminating the pass because – You'll see, like with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to adjust to you, what you're doing, and if you are not going to adjust and just going to continue to do what you were doing like last week, it's going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
Same exact game plan. I think the weather played a big factor into it. I think Jared Goff being hurt played a big factor into it. Now you have a guy who's fresh. You have a brand new quarterback. We'll see what they could do, man. This is the game for Dan Campbell. If the play calling is bad, then I can see the play calling going right back to Anthony Lynn.
I'm gonna be honest, guys. During this game, you have Garrett and Clowney. They've combined for 84 pressures and 13 and a half sacks. I don't think we're going to see that many deep shots. I think we're going to see some quick passes, some screen pass. The way you slow down a pass rush is do some screens, run at them, quick passing. That's how you slow down a really good pass rush. And those guys have been playing at a high level, man.
Yeah, I mean, the personnel that you're playing this week compared to last week is obviously different. You're getting more talented players this week with Cleveland compared to when you played Pittsburgh. But I still want to see them. You can't have anything what you had like last week. You still have to mix in some type of passing game. I don't care that they have Myles Garrett. And I don't care that they have Jadeveon Clowney. I understand.
And Dowell, McDowell from the middle.
They're obviously going to get pressure. And I like I said, I'm not making that my identity of a passing team. But it can't be anything like we saw last week versus Pittsburgh. It can't be like that. You have to have more of an air raid offense than 1.6.
Yeah, you're not going to see that.
You're going to see, like, Boyle takes more chances. It's just the way he is. Like, he has a strong arm. He trusts his arms to take more chances. But I don't think you're going to see that much bigger a difference of a game plan because these corners are good and our receivers aren't good. And this D-line is good and our O-line is good. So I think what you do is do strength on strength instead of weakness on strength.
I know, but I think what he's going for, what he's talking about is like on 3rd and 8. You shouldn't, like, I don't think
we can't just run the ball and play the field position.
No, I don't think they'll do that. No, I think they'll, like, Boyle likes to throw it deep, like I said. So,
I don't think it's that. I just, like I said, I think that boiled down to the injury and the weather. So, I don't think we're going to see that this game as far as like the third downs, the third down runs, stuff like that. Unless it's 3rd and short, but I don't see him doing like a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9.
I want to see an NFL offense because last week was down an NFL offense. That honestly, like, I'm not even trying to play, like, I'm not even trying to joke around. That reminded me of like a high school type of offense, the way with that big heavy set. Like, it really reminded me of a high school offense, not gonna lie, or maybe some type of college offense. It just wasn't an NFL offense to me at all, and that's something that is not gonna work in the NFL. It'll work for maybe a drive.
I'll tell you this, man. If Matt Nelson didn't get hurt, that shit would have probably worked to the fourth quarter.
Absolutely not.
I'll say this. If Santoso nails his field goal, that worked, basically, because they would have won the game.
Yeah. As far as the offense, I think the running game would have been rolling if Matt Nelson didn't get hurt.
The Pittsburgh Steelers completely adjusted to it, though.
I know. You can sack the box. Look at the Tennessee Titans. Team sack the box against them all the time, but their running game doesn't stop.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, just if you have a running game, if you have a back that can run the ball, Nick Chubb.
I understand.
Teams Nick Chubb all the time. But their offensive line, they're able to create holes, and he goes through them. What we were able to do this game is we were able, with the extra linemen, we were able to create holes, and our guys were able to go through it. But when Matt Nelson went down, those holes were gone.
And I think Swift got tired towards the end. Like, he wasn't breaking tackles like he was in the beginning of the game. And that was another mistake.
And also, the holes are gone. The holes are gone.
And I understand that you can get away with some type of games where we've seen Jared Goff, for example, or Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins, they've gotten away with maybe throwing like 15 passes in a game and still winning a ball game just because of relying on the run game. I'm saying that's okay. But the way that the Lions were like passing, they weren't even attempting to pass the sticks. I mean, they were literally just relying on the run game. That cannot happen in the NFL. I don't think they win the game if they continue to do that the whole game because Pittsburgh was adjusting to it, and I think they would
have. Well, let's be honest, bro. They would have won the game if their kicker didn't fuck up.
I understand that, but I'm saying as far as the game that we watched itself, that was a game where you should have won. Like, it shouldn't have been – it shouldn't have came down to the kicker, in my opinion. It shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a fair argument.
So. Yeah, but let's not talk about that game. Let's talk about this game.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, as far as what we see this week versus Cleveland, I can't see what I saw versus Pittsburgh.
You're not going to see as much of that, but I think you're going to still see a heavy dose of running. You have to, because the line is just going to match up well against these corners.
That's completely fine. I just can't see what I saw versus Pittsburgh, because that was high school. That was high school. That was Pee Wee football. That was not NFL football.
I'll say this. Hockenson needs to get involved. Last week, he had 1 target, 0 catches. That's
Hockenson was terrible last week. I'll say that. He had 2 critical penalties, 1 target. He was fucking terrible last week.
I mean, the Lions just didn't get him going either. Like, they targeted him once. When you have a tight end with that club as your best receiver, your best option in the passing game, he needs more targets.
Well, they didn't pass the ball, and that's my biggest gripe on the game plan. They didn't pass
the ball. I mean, even if you don't pass the ball, even if you pass the ball, like, how many times they pass it? 10, 15 times, whatever it is? He should still have more than 1 target.
They had a total of 25 passing attempts.
Because he had 1 target out of 25 attempts. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It is.
And a lot of the passes were short screen passes.
I mean, you could still like get that. That was the target. It was a tight end screen, and
yeah,
just didn't work. And yeah, there was one where it was a penalty, but that didn't count as a target because it was a penalty.
The tight end screen when he was still engaging his block. That was hilarious.
TJ's got to step up as well. I know you have to implement him more in your offense, but he's got to step up as well. Like, those stupid penalties are costing this offense a lot, and
that's what I'm saying. This whole offense has been bad. This whole offense has been a giant shit show.
Yeah,
I think also, I got to be honest, when your quarterback plays like shit, I think your receivers also start to lose some confidence as well.
There's confidence. These guys,
there's no confidence with the receivers. There's no confidence with the quarterback. It's a mess, man. O-line is good, but
on any team, our receivers are either practice squad guys or strictly special team guys. These guys are not starting. None of these guys see the field on another team. Who sees the field? Who's the
probably Raymond and not Reynolds. Other than that, no. I mean, say Brown.
Maybe say Brown. Maybe and even if he goes to another team, he's probably buried in a depth chart.
Probably.
But then who Trinity Benson? He's our starter. Cordero Hodge. Who the hell is that? Who are these guys?
These are our starters.
Come on now. These are our starters.
They're not the starters. The starters were Raymond and St. Brown.
It's Raymond, Benson, and St. Brown.
Yeah, those are the starters. Going to be Raymond, Reynolds.
As far as snap count, look at the snap count, bro. Their snaps is higher than theirs.
Not Cordero Hodge, but Trinity Benson gets
Trinity Benson's snap count is way higher than theirs.
Well, I mean, yeah, Trinity Benson's. Oh, yeah, I don't think he's going to be a starter anymore. I think with now Josh Reynolds, I think he's going to be a starter.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. But I'm telling you, these guys are. And look at, we just picked up Reynolds, but where was Reynolds?
He was inactive.
Inactive, but where was he on the depth chart?
Like he before? Was. So when they traded for Julio, he was number four versus number four. Two.
Now imagine these guys who we have on our roster right now. They won't. They're not on the NFL roster, on another team.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making some good arguments.
I'm telling you, these guys are not. They're not on an active roster on another team. So confidence. What confidence? This is the best. They should be. They should have enough confidence just for seeing the goddamn field. Yeah, for real,
not wrong. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be tough to get an offense going this week. You got Tim Boyle at quarterback, so you got a different scenery at quarterback, so we'll see how that ends up going, because there really is a lot of unknown with Tim Boyle. You don't really know what to expect, because like Malcolm said, it's really just been very vanilla with Tim Boyle. I mean, his highlight tip right now, if you look at it, if it's not a college or if it's not a preseason highlight, it's him kneeling the ball. That's a career highlight tape in the NFL regular season game.
Yeah,
that's legendary.
Legendary. Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty legendary.
I mean, he got $3 million out of it from the Lions for doing shit. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that means they won a lot of games, and they're blowing teams pretty out if they had to go to Tim Boyle to kneel the ball.
There's some positives, man. I mean, he got to sit back and watch A-Rod for a while. Maybe. Sure. I mean, that's a positive.
I mean, I could just see myself, if Tim Boyle's like very bad, I could just see him. I could see myself calling him a scammer already, but I can't say that right now.
My bad. It was 2.5. It wasn't 3, but still, that's a lot.
If he is a complete shit show this week, do we see David Blau?
I don't know, man. They don't like David Blau. They do not like David. They don't respect David Blau.
Guys, let's be honest. Malcolm just said the receivers are trash. Basically. Right, you're going against good corners.
But it is the NFL. He brought up the Mike White analogy when they played Cincinnati.
He did.
Who did the Jets have at the receiving core? Who did the Jets have on their offensive line? Cincinnati has a good defense. We saw
that. Jets have Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Denzel.
Corey Davis was hurt.
Denzel Mims, I don't think he started.
Elijah Moore is nice for them.
Elijah Moore is coming to his own recently.
Keelan Cole, he's decent.
Keelan Cole, solid. But okay, you can understand my point. This is not a great receiving core either. Not that ours is anything better.
Theirs is better. I'd say theirs is probably.
Yeah, I mean, we have the worst receiving core probably. I think
everybody's better than ours right now.
Yeah. I think. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm giving you an example of Mike White. Came into a situation when he played a very talented Cincinnati Bengals team, which I think if we were breaking down that matchup a couple weeks ago, you would say the Cincinnati Bengals have every single advantage on the New York Jets as far as defensively compared to offensively.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's every given Sunday type week, man.
It's the NFL. It's the NFL. Jacksonville beats the Bills and only allows Josh Allen to get 2 field goals.
Oh, wow.
Because the other Josh Allen messed with him.
Yeah, he did. The score was 9-6.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, are you saying that are you picking the Lions to beat them?
Absolutely not. I'm just saying I am just saying it is very possible. It's the NFL, anything could happen. But do I have the balls to pick the Detroit Lions this week? And do I have the balls to say they'll get anything going on offense successfully in the passing game? Absolutely not. I'm not advocating that, but I am giving you optimism that there has been prime examples where it's happened before. And who's to say, why not us? Why can't it be us?
Yeah, why not? Why not us?
So, who knows? All right, let's talk about this Lions defense versus Cleveland Browns offense, which we don't know who's starting at quarterback this week for the Cleveland Browns. Pierre says it's most likely going to be Baker Mayfield, but if it isn't Baker Mayfield, it's going to be Case Keenum, who has NFL starting experience. You guys know firsthand with him being in the NFC North when he was with the Minnesota Vikings with Kevin Stefanski, so they obviously know each other very well. Peter, what's something you look for this Lions defense to maybe look to use as an advantage this Sunday versus the Browns offense?
Their receivers have struggled. Jarvis Landry, overall, has been a good receiver in his career, but this year he struggled. They got Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's dealing with a groin injury. Who's their other receiver?
Shorts.
He's dealing with a, what do you call it?
Concussion, isn't he?
A concussion, yeah. So right now they have I'll give it to you right now.
It would be Rashard Higgins.
He's also not the best receiver either. They do have David Njoku and Austin Hooper. And Austin Hooper has been a flop for them. He just, all that money they gave him, he hasn't worked out. David Njoku's whatever. He's okay, I guess. Their run game, though. They're the fifth-ranked rushing offense. Doesn't matter who's out there. If it's Kareem Hunt, if it's Nick Chubb or D'Ernest Johnson, thank you. If it's one of those, it doesn't matter who's out there. Those guys ball out. Their interior O-line is probably the best interior O-line in the NFL. J.C. Treader, probably a top five, top six center in the league. Joel Benito and then Wyatt Teller, both top five guards in the league. Jack Coughlin is out. His backup is
Blake Hans.
Blake Hans. And then Jedrick Wills has struggled this year, but I still like Jedrick Wills. So – what Cleveland tried to do is punch you in the mouth right up the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. And you mentioned it. Kareem Hunt's obviously going to be out this week. He's still on IR, so he's not going to be playing this week. And then Nick Chubb's status, I would assume he probably plays because he missed last week because of COVID protocols. He tested positive. Him and his other running back, Dimitri Felton, they both were out. But I think you brought up a good example. D'Ernest Johnson's had 2 opportunities to start now. He had that one Thursday night game where he kind of really broke out versus the Broncos. And then he had also another really good week. The Browns played the Patriots last week, which they got killed. But D'Ernest Johnson had a pretty good, outing as well as a running back. And, he's one of those guys where if he has to step up to the opportunity, I'm not saying he's Nick Chubb. I'm not saying he's Kareem Hunt, but he's a damn good running back as well, especially with the offensive line that Cleveland puts with him. I think they can give us some trouble. And I think that's going to be Stefanski's game plan, especially that's what Stefanski has always done, in Minnesota. It's always get the run game involved. And then we'll mix some play action in there. And I expect him to do that this week. If the Lions prove that they can't stop the run, which it's been very hit or miss, they're either really good at it or very bad versus the run. It's very hit or miss with this Lions defense. And I think that's going to be Stefanski's initial game plan going into the game and seeing what he could do with this run game. And if it gets going, he's going to probably attack that until the Lions prove that they can't stop it.
I got to be honest. I think this week the Lions are going to have trouble stopping the run. When you look at that interior offensive lineman, you look at the Lions D line up front, you got Lee McNeil. He's a rookie nose tackle, right? You got these linebackers. They're not as strong against the run. Jalen Reeves, maybe, and Alex Anzalone. You have Brockers and Nick Williams. They've been up and down, probably more down than up. And you're without your best edge defender and Trey Flowers. It's just it's asking a lot. Those three guys literally move people. And you remember how the Eagles were moving us? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be ugly. I hope not, but that's just what I think. I think it's going to be ugly up front. I think Cleveland is going to move us.
So I thought something that was very interesting in that Pittsburgh game, not something I would have thought that they would have came into the game plan with. And I guess I'm going to ask you the question. How do you guys think they did with Najee Harris versus Pittsburgh? Because he was obviously a very talented running back. Not as good of an offensive line like we're talking about right now in Cleveland. But how do you guys think the Lions defense did versus Najee Harris as far as the running game?
Let me just see something here real fast. I thought they were okay, right? He had 26 carries, 105 yards, 4 yards a carry. I mean,
I thought they did a really
on paper, job. It doesn't look as good, right? But like when you watch the game, I thought they did a pretty solid job.
I mean, because in the beginning, he was breaking some big runs. So I think
they adjusted.
I think that made his average look a lot better. But, yeah. You know, once the rain started to come down, I thought in my head, I'm like, I think Pittsburgh is going to attack this run a little bit more and that this is going to be a problem because I think their run game is going to give us a lot of trouble. But the Lions brought an interesting defensive formation that you wouldn't expect. You would expect that they probably played their big boys like the Pennicinis and the Aline McNeils. But frankly, looking at the defensive snap count, according to Justin Rogers, Aline McNeil and John Pennicini had the lowest amount of defensive snaps who played on Sunday. Aline McNeil only had 15 snaps and Pennicini only played 14, which Aline McNeil would account for 17% of the defensive snaps and Pennicini would count for 16% of the defensive snaps.
How much did Levi get, if you don't mind me asking? Because I saw him a little more out there this week.
Levi Onwuzurike played 26 defensive snaps, so that would account for 30%. Someone, I was shocked that he played a lot. I was going to say Deshaun Hand played 78% of the defensive snaps, played 68 total snaps in that game, and he was really good. He was really good as far as, you know, in the run game, and they didn't really get much pressures, but as far as stopping the run with the talent running back Najee Harris, I thought they did a very good job.
Yeah, but this week I think it's a little more different. You bring up those guys – these three guys I mentioned, Treader, Bonito, and Teller.
Yeah.
Man, when you watch the Browns, like the holes they create is unreal. They move people. Teller, you know this. You got Nick Chubb in fantasy. You watch the Browns all the time. They literally move people. Those guys Chubb are up. Movers. Yeah, yeah, all no. aboard the Chubb Hub. Right?
Chubb Hub, baby. I love Chubb Hub. I don't have him this year in fantasy. Well, I have him in one of my leagues, but my main league, I don't have him, unfortunately. But last year, carried me to the finals, but wasn't enough. Malcolm didn't make the playoffs, though, so I just have to throw that out there.
Wow. Okay.
Damn.
And he lost. He didn't make the playoffs because of Eric Ebron, which, wow.
Eric Ebron. Okay.
out of all guys. But, yeah, no, I thought it was interesting, the defensive formation that Aaron Glenn brought last Sunday versus Pittsburgh. And I'm curious to see how he's going to do this Sunday. Pierre, do you expect him to bring more of those big boys out there for a little more, like a guy like McNeil and Pennicini? They get more defensive snaps this week?
I don't know what Glenn's going to do because every week is like kind of different with him.
Which I really like.
I'm expecting a more heavy front, like a more heavy personnel out there. Like, for example, more McNeil, more Pennicini. Even Deshaun Hand is good against the run, but he's a little smaller. Maybe more Brockers, right? A little less than Nick Williams, stuff like that. Bring your big boys in. Maybe more Derek Barnes instead of Jalen Reeves-Maybin. You know, he's a little more bigger. He could probably take on blocks better. I mean, shut off the blocks better. So, stuff like that.
Okay. As much as I clown on Trey Flowers, this is a matchup I'd really like to have him in.
Absolutely.
I mean, putting Julian Aquar on the edge in this matchup is not ideal.
He's getting better, but he still has some work to do.
He's good as a pass rusher, but as far as comparing Flowers and Julian as a run defender, you know, it's
not close. Yeah, it's not close yet. Yeah, no.
So, it's going to be – yeah. Now, this is a matchup I hope Trey Flowers can play in. I know he didn't practice on Wednesday, so we'll see how the report looks throughout the week, and we'll have more an update on that on Sunday for sure. But, I agree with you, though. I think especially if Flowers doesn't play, I expect they play more of these bigger guys, more of your nose tackles like McNeil and Pennicini. You know, you put in Brockers a lot as well. And, you know, maybe you don't play a guy like Julian Aquar as much or Levi Onwuzurike as much. I think you look to more of those bigger sets.
Yeah, if Austin Bryan is healthy, because I believe last year, I thought he was a healthy scratch size, but it looks like he was hurt because he was limited this today. So
yeah.
If Austin Bryan is healthy, he was known in college as like setting the edge, right? That's what he was known for. So he's a little bigger. Maybe play some more Austin Bryan. He's a little heavier.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. That yeah, hopefully Austin Bryant could go if Trey Flowers can't go.
Yeah,
I think he'll be a big help. You know what's confusing to me is, we're not seeing much of Derek Barnes. His snap count is extremely low.
Yeah, still
using him.
Yeah, only had 15 snaps last week, 17% of the defensive snaps.
Yeah, it's extremely low, and it's like getting lower and lower every week. And I think for some reason, man, it's I think this is now time you need to put him in there, especially against the run, against this team.
I mean, they're like the rookies. It's kind of weird with them. Like we saw McNeil playing a little heavy, like a lot of snaps in the beginning, but now he's getting a little less. I think every game is kind of different type of game plan. So maybe some games we'll see him more versus other games we won't see him as much.
Which I enjoy, though. I want to just give a shout-out to Aaron Glenn. He's not stubborn to one game plan every single week and saying, like, I'm going to bring this every week. I'm not saying it works every single week with whatever game plan he brings in, but I love that he brings something different to the table every single week, and it's so unpredictable. Because, like you mentioned, it's like, I don't even know what to predict right now, like, because they could do whatever, they could bring out whatever, and we wouldn't be shocked because – that's just what Aaron Glenn's identity has been since being a defensive coordinator. And I really appreciate that because it's not just a one-trick pony. You know, he's not just one guy, cover one, or I'm going to blitz all the time. Like, he brings a variety of different defenses. And we've seen in certain game plans with the variety of different defenses, it's worked.
Yeah, and most of the time he runs a lot of cover two and two-man. I think this game maybe, if Cleveland wants to run the ball more, I think maybe you play more cover one versus cover two and two man. Malcolm, would you agree with that? Maybe some cover three also, single high, same thing?
Yeah, you got to put some guys in the box. You got to load up the box. Safety got to come down. You got to be in the box. And you got to play the run. And, yeah, cover three.
Cover one.
Cover one maybe, yeah.
Trust your corners.
Because if you play two man, you have both safeties deep. That's basically telling the offense.
You're daring the Browns to run
the ball. Exactly. And they want to run the ball. It's pretty obvious with Baker hurt and their wide receivers struggling a little this year. I think their game plan is going
to
come.
You'd rather Tez Baker to try to beat you than Nick Chubb or Dearness Johnson. Like that should be the game plan, I think.
You should dare Cleveland to throw the ball.
Exactly. If you lose to Baker Mayfield and the receiving core, you tip your hat, because I think if you let Nick Chubb and Dearness Johnson just beat you and you don't have a good defensive game plan, you know, that's a different story.
I mean, I don't think we necessarily match up well against them.
I think you should try to. That should be 100%. That should be the identity coming into the game, is where we're going to try to stop them. We might not have the personnel to stop them, but we're going to try to stop them. That's going to be our plan.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what the Lions bring on defense this week. We expect Baker Mayfield to play. I expect Nick Chubb to play, even though that's not confirmed, but I do expect he'll probably clear protocols and end up being activated on Sunday. So, do you guys got anything else to add on this Lions defense versus this Browns offense?
Let's see. Yeah, so the Lions are 30th against the run, and the Cleveland is 5th at running the ball. So, they're also – Cleveland is 26 in passing offense. Like how I said, their offense has struggled passing the ball.
Yeah.
So, and the Lions and pass defense are 16th. So you could see where this is going, right?
Yeah. They're going to look at that and they're going to see that the Lions are 30th against the run, and that's going to be their game plan. But I do think those numbers are a little misleading. I really do.
The Philly game was tough. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's just certain games where those numbers get very high, and then that's where the Lions run defense ends up ranking a lot higher than they should be. Like there's just a couple games like the Bears game and you mentioned the Philly game. There's some other couple games a Cincinnati game. You know, there's some games in there where, you know, the number gets high. And I think a lot of that has to do with the Lions offense too, which we talked about with Jared Goff not being able to stay on the field, and you're putting your defense in very bad situations. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe Tim Boyle, could he sustain a drive a little bit longer? I'm not counting on it, but it's going to be interesting to, you know, keep up with this Sunday and see if maybe we could just hold on to a drive a little longer and keep the defense off their toes a little less.
Yeah. This is another game where I wouldn't be shocked if there are some tricks here and there. Maybe on special teams, maybe an onside kick, maybe like a flea flicker. I think this is a game where you have to find creative ways to try to win this game because the matchup is just tough.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about they're probably going to run it all over us, and the Lions could somehow get creative. We'll see what happens.
Is it crazy? I think I said this kind of similar to the Steelers, but when I view the Lions when they're supposed to be good, or like, at least what their plan looks like it's supposed to be with Holmes and Campbell, Do you think it's fair to say that this Cleveland Browns is a team that they look to kind of maybe mold their team a little bit after, get the run game going? We're going to really come we're going to be known as a running team, and we're going to be known as having a pretty solid defense, some good corners, some good edge rushers. That's just like the plan I view of the Lions in the end goal. I view kind of similar to this Cleveland Browns team, like how they're built.
I kind of view it like the Bengals, because the Bengals are sort of similar like us, right? You had your coach get fired. Then they drafted Jonah Jackson. We drafted, I believe it was Sewell, right? And then
You said when they drafted who in the Cincinnati?
Like their first pick, wasn't Jonah Jackson the tackle?
Jonah Jackson's our guy.
Not Jonah Jackson, my bad. What's their tackle's name? Jonah Williams.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple years ago.
My bad, yeah. So then the following year, they draft their franchise quarterback. Like, for example, this year the Lions got Sewell. Yeah. Then next year they could maybe take a quarterback, or this year, for example. So I think you just build through the draft, right? The Bengals have drafted well. They drafted Jamar Chase. They've drafted Logan Wilson. They've hit on their picks recently. So the Lions could just build through the draft, add some solid free agents, and just keep going, and I think they'll be fine. It's going to take some time, though, guys. Like, even next year, I'm not expecting to be, like, major improvements, because this team has a ton of holes, and they have some bad contracts, too. They're still cleaning up the mess the other regime made. You just have to hit on these first-round picks you have from the Rams, hit on your first-round picks, find some steals in the middle of the draft, and that's how you build.
Yeah. I say Cleveland because they got their edge rusher Myles Garrett with the first overall pick, and then the year after they got Baker Mayfield, and then they also had the fourth pick in that year because they did kind of like what we do. They kind of stacked in some picks. They had multiple first-round picks, and then they got Denzel Ward, and they just did a really good job building that team, and that's a credit to a guy we have in our staff right now, John Dorsey. So I just kind of look at, like, the identity that the Browns have built. I just kind of see, like, that's what the Lions' end goal is. That's how I view it. I think that's, like, how they're trying to build their team, at least.
Yeah, when you look at the O-line, too, that's a strength for Cleveland, right? Yeah. Obviously, Coughlin is hurt, but when Coughlin comes back,
exactly, yep.
I mean, shit, they're probably one of the best O-lines in the league, right?
Yeah.
The Lions' O-line right now, it's pretty damn good when they're healthy. When they're healthy,
you got some awesome looks at me. For sure.
No. I had a little hiccup. No, man.
My bad.
I'll say this, though. We kind of look like the Cleveland Browns, and we could get a back that we could hand the ball 20 times to a game. I'm happy.
Yeah, the receivers are a mess, though. But, like, the Browns, I mean, they're maybe one more draft away from really fixing their team in one offseason away. Like, they have some little holes, not, like, major holes, that receiver and maybe some linebacker depth, corner depth, right? Other than that, man.
Quarterback.
That's
that's the money question.
I mean, that's I don't know about that, but. They're right there, though. The Browns are literally right there. They've had a tough year this year. They're a lot better than their record is. They really are. They're a talented team. To me, they're one of the most talented teams in the league.
When you just look
at the players on their team, the talent they have, they're really talented, but they've also dealt with some injuries as well. Like, Baker's been hurt. I believe Denzel Ward has been hurt. Other guys have been hurt in and out of the lineup. So,
yeah. The tech with Coughlin, he's hurt too, Jack Coughlin.
Yeah, I believe he was an all-pro last year, wasn't he?
He was very good, and that's the guy I wanted two offseasons.
You did.
I wanted him very badly, and we ended up paying Big V. But,
well, shout out to Big V. We talked a lot of crap about him last year. This year, we haven't said nothing bad about him. So normally, when you move up a guy, that's good news. He's been solid this year.
He's made a good position switch. Since he's been moved to guard, he's been really productive at the guard position. At tackle, that was a different story last year.
Yep.
But as far as a guard, he's been very good for this football team. And I give credit to Hank Fairley, man. He's making a lot of pieces that, like, are kind of afterthoughts and just making them guys who are going to get, like, another contract. Like, Evan Brown, who the hell is Evan Brown? And I think Evan Brown's a guy who could be a candidate to not get a big contract, but could get a contract this, you know, this offseason.
Right.
So. All right, I think that's all we got for Lions Cleveland, and we will be live on Spotify Green Room to talk about inactives and just our last minute thoughts basically on the game. We'll have our predictions, underdog picks, all on that. So if you guys are interested in that, we'll be live on Spotify Green Room on 12 o'clock. an hour before kickoff, so inactives and all that will be out. And then, obviously, next week, the Lions play on Thanksgiving, so that means Thursday kickoff, so schedule's going to be adjusted a little bit. So, as far as this week, everything's normal, but for next week, we'll probably do a preview. I think we're aiming for Tuesday night. That could be scheduled to change, but that's where we're aiming to schedule to record our preview for the Chicago Bears. So stay tuned for all that. We'll probably have more on that on Sunday, and we'll know more about that as we get closer to Thanksgiving. So thank you guys for the support. You guys have been great. And thank you guys for joining the Spotify Green Room. It's been a lot more lively, you know, the last couple of weeks, and you guys have been supporting, joining in on our shows, and we always appreciate you guys coming in. If you guys could leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, use promo code PRIDEPOD on Underdog Fantasy. They're matching up to $100 your first deposit. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Like Tyler said, check out Underdog. They're matching $100. Use code PRIDEPOD and leave a 5-star review on all platforms, whatever you listen on. We appreciate the support. And I'm out. Peace.
Yep, it's your boy Malcolm, and I'm out, man. Peace. Thank you.